Nerd Nation, wake up. It's time for Bid Nerd, your daily nerd on the most interesting car of the day. Hey, I'm JP along with my partner, Michael Deeb. Welcome, everyone. We are dozens of subscribers away from making it to 1,000 subscribers. That is so lame compared to most YouTube channels. But whatever, it's a big deal for us. We're excited about it. Help us out. We're a new channel. Hit the subscribe, like, and notification button if you're new to the channel and you're like, what the hell do these guys do? We find the most interesting car of the day from all the auction sites like P-Car Market, Bring a Trailer, Cars and Bids, and more. We talk about that car. We have a conversation about all the specific things about that car that make it interesting, and then we predict what's going to happen with that car's auction, and we reconcile that prediction at the end of the show using our time machine that I have right here under my desk. It keeps my butt warm. Michael Deeb in San Francisco, have we got a name for your studio yet?
Nope.
Nerdhead needs to help us out with that, guys.
Yeah. At 1,000 subscribers, we will pick one from, or we'll have the Nerdhead vote on the top two or three submissions that we get. Yeah, we'll see. It'll be fun.
Yeah. If you play along with us, it's like The Price is Right, right? We make a prediction on the car, and then you plug in your bid down below. If you get a Yahtzee, that's what we call getting it exactly right, we will send you your very own Bid Nerds hat with your name on it. We will put your name on the darn thing.
Flato Brimo.
Flato Brimo. That is Flato correct. Brimo. We've got some truckers coming out, too, that are going to be pretty cool. Shout out to our good friends at Godin Classic, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. They sponsor the show, so we love those guys. And even if they didn't sponsor the show, we love those guys anyway. Look, I'm wearing their shirt. They really know their stuff when it comes to classic Porsches. So there it is. Michael Deeb.
Yeah, they're so smart. They hired and fired us.
Yeah, that's right. And you, look, you work for some. Well, hey, great. Maybe Haggerty should fire you so they can sponsor us.
Absolutely. I'll take that for the team. I mean, let's go right now.
Let's do it. All right. Michael Deeb is an auction specialist at Haggerty Marketplace. They do not sponsor the show. He is a representative of that company, but our opinions do not necessarily reflect
that. Yeah, that of our employers or our sponsors.
Or anyone, or anyone for that matter. All right, Michael Deeb, what is today's...
A lot of times our opinions don't even reflect us.
But they are revealing, aren't they?
We
really don't know anything. God, we are bad at this. We've been doing it for a while, and we just haven't gotten any better.
Well, not learning anything. I mean, the trouble is we don't know when we're wrong, so naivety is bliss. We just keep marching on down the path. Like, we probably – there's probably a fact that we keep professing as truth that is incorrect on every model car out there, and nobody's ever corrected us, so we don't know that we're wrong. Perfect.
You know, we wouldn't listen anyway. We keep doing the same thing over. What's it called? Like
insanity.
It's insanity. Doing the same thing over and expecting different results. Nobody watches this show. We keep doing the same thing. Still, nobody watches the show. Like two guys, and one of them's on the other side of the planet. So I don't know. We love you guys. Love the nerd herd out there. All right, what's the most interesting car of the day, Michael Deeb?
JP, it's really cool because last week you may remember on a Wednesday there was a 1997. Porsche in light yellow on Bring a Trailer. It had reasonable miles and it had a slight accident on the front end of the car. And you said, without a doubt, the light yellow color is what held that back. That car we thought would sell in the 80s, and that car failed to sell at like $69,000. So, with that car in mind, and the nerd herd will remember it because it was just last week, I present to you, JP, for your consideration, this 1995 Porsche 911 Carrera Coupe offered out of San Diego, California, with 55,000 miles, about 20,000 miles less than the yellow car. Looks to be in really nice condition, a basic C2 with minor front end damage from 2018. So, JP, here's the exact same car, and I'm using this car to give you an opportunity to prove that it was the color that held it back and not the front end damage. Because in my mind, the reserve that was set for this car should be exactly the same as the reserve that was set for the yellow car. And the yellow car failed to sell at essentially $70,000. So let's see if this car can bring more than 70 grand. Now, what's the like here? I'll let my partner go a little deeper into the differences between 95s and 97s because there are a couple of significant differences. And as such, because of the variable valve timing and the vario ram that my partner will explain a little bit more elaborately than I just did, the 97 does make a little more horsepower than these cars. But JP, correct me if I'm wrong, you have preached to me over the years since I've met you that if you were choosing apples to apples, a 95 versus a 96, 7, or 8, you probably just take the 95 because they're arguably more reliable because there's less sensors and they're just simpler valve trains. And the, what you give away in the 10 horsepower you make up for in less trips to see our good friend Tony Mazzagatti to have a warning light or a problem resolved with your car. And that long-term ownership, something you have done in one of these cars, and yours was a 95, would be a smoother relationship. And so there's a lot to like here besides the fact that it's polar silver with black and it's got the 17s and the basket handle and the things that I like. If you can't tell already, JP, I would love to own this car. And I bet you would too. So have I picked a good car to juxtapose against our failed to sell lot from last week, that yellow car? Do you think that this is going to be a fair chance to see if it's the front end or the color when it comes time to close this auction? So JP, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, you said all the right things about the difference between the model years. I just don't think that it's being accentuated enough just how much more desirable a 95 is over one of the later years. The OBD1.
But do you think that's common knowledge, or do you think Porsche head?
In 993, if you're looking at 993s, you're probably going to do some research and you're going to learn real quick. Do one, you know, look, just go on Renlist for and look at two or three threads, and you're going to hear all about SAI problems. That is, the secondary air intake gets clogged up and throws a code. It is not detrimental to the car. It won't cause the engine to blow up. It's not like an IMS problem on a 996, but it is a $10,000 repair and it doesn't permanently fix it. The problem comes into if you live in a place where you got to smog the darn thing in the mid 90s. It is just a nightmare trying to get a 96, 7, or 8 993 to pass smog because that SAI is such a huge freaking problem. OBD1 cars do not have that problem.
These 95s are the only year of the 993 generation that are OBD1.
Yeah. And so a little bit less horsepower, so what? Get throwing, you know, a Steve Wong chip in it and throw some exhaust on there and problem solved. You're pretty much picking up most of that horsepower. This car is, you know, we've talked about it before. This is the perfect all-around everyday Porsche. If you could pick one car and you didn't want to, you know, if you don't have supercar money, like, you know, a 993 wide body C2S is something that's
Ferrari 360 Modena money, right?
Yeah, you know, sure, that's the better car, but it's the far less attainable car. This car is going to be somewhere in that $100,000 range, give or take, and it's going to cost you, it's going to be the most possible performance out of a basic 911 that you could get, the most comfortable daily practical 911 you could possibly get. The air conditioning works in these things, although be advised that if it fails, it can be terribly expensive. There are so many servos. That's the problem with the 90s, is a lot of this technology that we're used to in modern cars. A basic Kia has vented seats and in climate controlled zones and all that kind of stuff. When they were doing that ish on these cars back then, you know, that was all new stuff, and you're talking big old servos and weird gizmos that they don't make anymore and stuff that has moving parts that break. So, you know, if your AC fails, if one of the flaps in the dashboard goes and you got to pull that thing out, $10,000. You got to pull that dashboard out. I mean, it's like, whoa, dude. But the good news is they are pretty reliable and they don't typically break that often. The control modules, they know, are known to go bad too. But, you know, you're talking about a few grand. Whatever. This is still just one of the greatest practical all-around everyday Porsches you can possibly get. Couple of mods on here. Throw some coilovers on it. Throw a, you know, Fab Speed Super Cups. Or Pfister D's, you know, stage 2 or 3's, you know, maybe, I don't know, I like these cup two wheels. People are not in love with Cup 2, but I think they look right on a basic 993. I think that's a good look. I mean, geez, this is just a – I had a C4 that looked exactly like this for quite a while and missed that car. So, yeah, the big question is, will this car go for more or less than the canary yellow little turdy bird thing that we looked at? Do you think?
Yeah. So, all right. So, JP, just to remind everybody at home, on that car last week, I said 88,000. You came underneath me at 80,000 because you were betting against the color. The car failed to sell at $69,993, although the seller noted that he sold the car post-auction. Our car today, the 95 out of San Diego with our friends at Symbolic International in San Diego, shout out to La Jolla, our car is sitting at $55,555 and closes 5 days from now. That's redundant. And I'm gonna bring my bid into the 80s, but underneath my yellow car, and I'm gonna say $85,000 and just play devil's advocate for my partner so that we can juxtapose these two versus last week's result. JP, your bid last week was 80. Where do you think this car is gonna go? I think we both agreed that this is probably gonna bring more than that yellow car failing to sell at 70. But are you going to come in over your bid from last week?
Oh yeah, this is 90. This car could get really close to 100. It's the right colorway. It's silver on black. I mean, that's the other thing too, is that the most of the polar silver, right? You got Arctic silver, which is kind of more of a basic silver color, more of a metal type metallic color, whereas this is polar, which has more kind of a blue to it. Most of the polar silver ones come with a gray interior, which is just not terribly attractive. It's just, it's really, really, really hard to find a polar on black. My cab was polar on black and it looked spectacular. This one also polar on black, just really a stunning combo.
Your car was so cool, you kept it for 11 years.
I know, right? And I'm wishing I still had it. But yeah, look, this is a great car. I stand by that bid. I think, I think this car is just going to do way better than that 97 with the weird color and the potential SAI. I don't remember it being mentioned in that. The one caveat to my bid is that I haven't read this darn listing, so I don't know what kind of that accident on the front end of this car. How bad was it, and what did it do? If it was genuinely minor, which I assume it was, it's not going to be a big issue. The idea of having a minor accident used to be the kiss of death on old Porsches, but these days there just aren't that many of them around. People are willing to kind of look the other way. If it didn't have any issues on the Carfax at all, then I would be bidding. I'd be going, this could get over 100 pretty easily.
Especially with the lower miles. And the fact that Symbolic is representing the car, he's got such a great reputation. He'll overcome the Carfax all day long.
Did they mention any kind of service on this thing? Has it had a clutch? Has it had a engine out reseal and stuff like that? Because that's going to need to happen probably fairly soon if it hasn't been done already, which is not the cheapest thing to do.
What they mentioned in the gaskets for the valve covers and the timing covers were replaced in September of 2020.
Yeah, that's great. That's great because those are issues.
June, the battery was placed in June, and then in 2023, the alternator belt was replaced.
Okay. Well, there you go, guys. There you go. All right. Well, let us know what you guys think. Let's get you guys to plug in your bids down below. Ross and Anthony and Family Guy and the Michaels and everyone else that I'm forgetting. I'm such an a-hole for not. The Nerd Herd just rocks, man. One of these days, we need to go back through and have an intern go through all the comments and just kind of like compile all the different people that regularly comment and get you guys some swag. But we love you guys. So dozens of subscribers away from 1,000. Help us get there. Plug in your bids. And Michael D., we'll find out what happens with this little 993 right after this. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. Hey guys, welcome to the future, and the future is what? I don't know. I said bright on the last episode, and that was kind of dumb, which makes sense given that not so bright over here. You have stuck around watching the second half of a Bid Nerds episode, and that means that we love you, man. The nerd herd out there is rocking it. We are probably 20 or 30 subscribers away from getting to our first 1,000 subscribers. We have clawed, scratched, and worked so hard for, and that just means we really, really appreciate you guys. The nerd herd is rocking it. We are going to probably start doing live episodes here, maybe on the next batch, because we are that close to 1,000. We might just start doing it, even if we don't quite get there. That is going on. I think what Sunday nights is what we're talking about there. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
Is it still doing this thing? Stop. Jesus. Yeah, Sunday night, right? Yeah, I think let's hit this one. Oh yeah, look at that. We got all kinds of stupid sound effects.
I think the first one of the crickets is probably a preview of our first live show, right?
First live show. It'll be like two people. It'll be Ross who will just, you know, it'll be, you know, the middle of the night for him, so he'll take some no-dos.
It'll be the two people you have in studio with you. It'll be like Mental and Rami or something, or Jason.
Yeah, we'll have to get people in the studio when we do them live. That'll be fun. Sunday night live thing. All right, guys, you've stuck around this long. You've listened to us ramble. If you haven't hit the subscribe, like, or notification button by now, you're probably not gonna. But if you really haven't, come on, man. What are you waiting for? Just do it. Just do it now. Let's get to this. What happened with this 993?
Oh, John, can Can you smell that? Smells like a Yahtzee alert.
Uh-oh.
All right. So what we're talking about here is the 1995 Porsche 911 out of San Diego, California. Polar silver. Tiny little bit of damage in its history. Who cares? 18-inch wheels, 55,000 miles. John, I picked this car because I want to own it. Polar silver with black. C2993, and it's a dot one, right? A 95 dot one with the single OB sensor, whatever you call those
OBD
damn
one,
things.
Yeah.
OBD1. So I like, this is a car I would seriously consider owning. And so I come in and I go, what did I say? I said something stupid because I didn't win. I said $85,000. I think that's because I think I wanted to buy it for that number. Like, that's what I was going to offer the guy in my mind. John, you came in and said $90,000. Deeb, you don't understand the value of these things. These are the ones that people want. And I always get nervous when you bet the over. JP, you almost got a Yahtzee. Our car sold for $90,623. I don't know what the 623 is supposed to stand for, if that's a euphemism. It went right over my head. 34 bids has got some action. JP, I'm not going to ask you if you're surprised. Damn, you nailed it. You predicted exactly what it went for. The question I have for you is, if we're looking at two cars side by side that are 993s, and one is a 95 and the other one is either a 6, 7, or 8, they have the same miles and the same colorway and the same options. Are you telling me that a 95 would bring more money? Or
even
a 98, even a 98 that's the last year of production in the mind of the, you know, less informed? Am I slow to understand that the 95 is truly actually worth a quantifiable dollar premium?
Absolutely. I mean, anybody that knows is going to want the 95 over the 90, over the 96, 7, or 8. I mean, the 98 might bring a little bit more money if it has... if it's a really low number on the car or whatever, but all things being equal, any 993 owner, any 993 person knows that the 95 is absolutely the year to get. Look, I had that 96 that looked identical to this a couple of years ago. You may recall that car.
Yeah, drove C4.
But it was a C4, right? But it was also polar silver. It was gray interior.
Low miles.
Yeah, super low miles. That car literally had like 30-something thousand miles on it. And it was beautiful, right? And everything was great when I owned it. I wound up trading that in for a different car at a local dealership, and who I'm friends with and work with, wasn't Godin Classic, even though Godin Classic is absolutely a dealership that would have loved that car. But look, the other dealership, you know, they gave me a great trade-in value. I mean, the trade-in value, and that was when, you know, that was kind of at the height of when everything was going super crazy. But it was more than this, right? Yep. You know, for the trade-in value of that car because it had so low miles. But that was a 96. Yeah. And it turns out that I traded it in at the right time because, as suspected, you know, so what happened with that car is someone at the dealership, I think it was one of the dealer principals, actually wanted it. He got the car and drove it a little bit, and you know, the car, it wound up the dreaded SAI, I think, came on the secondary air intake, I think, because, you know, I was over there recently and they're like, yeah, we had to put like $25,000 in work into the darn thing. You know, I'm like, geez, you know, did you get an engine out reseal or something like that? Because it's certainly not going to need a there's no way it needed a you know, a top end or anything like that. It wasn't leaking anything. It was, you know, the car was perfect. But he was like, it had through some code or something like that. And it was like, it was probably the SAI. Because the person that was telling me about it really didn't know Porsches like we do. That's the only thing I could think of is if it, you know, developed maybe a camshaft seal leak or something like that on the top of the engine. That's something that the engine has to come out in order to fix. It's not detrimental. It's not like an IMS bearing in a 996 that is going to mean the thing's going to blow up. It's just going to leak a little oil. But someone like that with a low mile car is probably going to want to get it done. The secondary air intake thing is something you can't smog that car once that light comes on. You know, and it all it is a smog device. It's literally putting the exhaust back through it's kind of like a catalytic converter. It's burning off any extra fuel that's in the exhaust, and that thing gets clogged up. And frankly, you know, something that a lot of 911, 993 people don't realize is that the 95 has one too. It doesn't have the Vario RAM, but it does have an SAI. So the SAI does get clogged up on the 95s as well, but it doesn't throw a code like it does on the 96 7s and 8s. So the 95 may have that issue, and it may, like, it doesn't do anything. It's not going to cause a problem. You could just drive it forever that way. But if you live in a state where you've got to get emissions, you know, those mid-90s, late-90s German cars, and most cars for that matter, and even Japanese cars have some issues with that. That era of smog, you know, when everyone was getting into this stuff, it really, all those early computers, those first-gen OBD2 computers, just you know, it was early times for that technology, and it didn't work that great. So yeah, owning a 96, 7, or 8, 993 can really be a bear. This car right here is the one you want. C2, no secondary air intake, at least one with the sensors. And this car, you just drive to the end of the time. This is if you can have one single Porsche and you don't want to break the bank, this is the one you get. And now they're, you know, if it were a 93 or 4 964 with the same spec, that would be a $130,000 car. So oddly enough, 993s are the best bang for the buck. How did that happen in air-cooled Porsche world? I mean,
crazy.
How is that possible?
Yeah, well, I feel like you kind of just described why it is. If the 964s aren't dealing with this issue and they're trouble and maintenance free, they really are the superior car from a cost of ownership, not just a purchase price, right?
Yeah, except that the 964s have their own litany of issues. But I don't know. We're not going to get into 964 issues there.
Yeah,
but,
let's not
This car right here, this 95, is definitely the best out of all. Yeah. I mean, just the most reliable, probably.
Beautiful car.
Yeah, beautiful car. If you wanted to get rid of your wide body M491 car for drivability, I think this would be the one, or something like it.
I agree. I really liked it, and I guess I'm not surprised by that result. I'm only surprised that number hit a 95, but when you frame it the way you did, I think it's a great take. The 95 is the,
it's always
superior,
been the sweet spot for 993 people.
Yeah.
The other thing to mention, you know, that we were talking about before the break too, is that just, you know, last week we talked about a canary yellow one that was basically the same car, and, you know, it didn't bring as much as this car. Color matters, but, you know, polar silver isn't really, I mean, it's kind of like a ubiquitous color for these. Most of them are done in this color, but they're not, like, it's not a color that's sought after. If this thing were some PTS color, or if it were like, what is it, Mexico or Miami blue or something like that. Like our friend, my friend Kelly has a Mexico blue one. You know, could you imagine how much that car would go for? It would probably literally go for 50% more. It would probably be a $150,000 car or more.
I think Kelly's car is actually Riviera.
It might be. Yeah, I can't remember off the
top of my head, it's Riviera, and he's got the Speedline wheels. That Canary one, the Canary one we looked at last week, JP, was a 97. It failed to sell at $70,000. But on Bring a Trailer. I mean, you know, you would think it would bring more money than that. But interesting. Very interesting. All right. Well, that was fun. I'm glad we covered that car.
There you go. A little lesson for the 993 fans out there. If there's something that I got wrong, let us know in the comments below. We're always down to learn something because we know that we're dumb. So thanks for sticking around and hanging around and watching a couple of dumb guys. Hit that subscribe button, like I said, if you haven't done it already. And we will see you guys tomorrow with another most interesting car of the day. Bye. Nerd! Get the nerd!